Welcome back to another episode of The Witch Doctor, a podcast audio play brought to you by me, Aquanimous Rex. Every week, The Witch Doctor gets more and more subscribers, more and more downloads. I never would have thought it would have taken off like it has so quickly, but you all have managed to surprise me. The Chapter 1 re-recording compilation project, which, as you know, will consist of episodes 0, Introduction, through to 9, Messenger, is still underway. Voice actors are being located for all of the different characters, and their scripts are being divided up. Also, if you're interested in helping out the podcast without having to open your wallet, definitely consider liking or following me on Facebook at my writer's page, Aquanimous Rex, spelled EQUANIMOUSREX, where you can get regular updates on The Witch Doctor, peruse some of my nonfiction articles, and get to see some occasional sweet graphic art related to the podcast. Another cost-free option is to make sure to subscribe and download all the episodes, or to tell a friend who you think may like it. The site I host The Witch Doctor on does not take record of when people stream the podcast, only when they download, so downloading them helps me get a feel for how many people are listening. That's about it for now. How about we get back to the story of Noel? Yeah? Cool. And thank you for listening. The Witch Doctor, Episode 17, Cobble. After the spider-headed creature had helped Artemis from her gravity trap in the strange, spiraled forest, she had asked him his name.
My name? My name? How rude! Don't they have any manners at all in the lower worlds? You humans? Really?
Which had baffled Artemis. She had thought, under the circumstances, that she was being exceedingly respectful, given that her sense of the world was being upended and thrown through a grinder.
Fine. Don't tell me if you want. I was just being polite anyway.
But something he had said struck her as curious.
What do you mean, the lower worlds? I thought you just told me we were in the underworld. Whatever that means.
The being that Artemis found herself thinking of as the spider bro, for no obvious reason, had scoffed at her. A sound most peculiarly made from that human mouth surrounded by pedipalps, those short leg-like protrusions.
Underworld, overworld, whatever world we are in, the world you come from is most certainly lower. And be careful with your question about names here. You probably couldn't afford the prices attached to such barter.
She hadn't understood, and when Artemis had begun to walk away from him, turning her back on him and heading into some random direction, the spider bro had followed her, his pale, nearly naked body standing out in the dimly lit forest like a beacon, his stark white briefs even more so. The hair, or was it fur, on his spider head were shades of forest colors and so sometimes gave the impression that her unwanted companion was beheaded. She had not told him to fuck off, but she did not ask him to follow her either, though he did, as though they were two old friends on a stroll. It had been some amount of time. Artemis couldn't tell exactly how long. The trees had begun to thin, greater spaces between them, opening up to what looked like a vast purple-hued grassland dotted on the horizon with what almost looked like some kind of towers.
Are those buildings?
She asked of him.
Those? I have no idea. I've never been here before. They look kind of crazy, right? All ominous and...
You've never been here before?
She was incredulous. Nothing made sense. Her mind felt as though it were floating on some ocean, sharks unseen but no doubt beneath her kicking legs. She could not shake the sense that she was in danger, yet could not exactly recall why, or who would want to hurt her, or even what she was doing here. Something kept wriggling at her memory, trying to get her attention. But every time she attempted to dig within herself for it, it flitted away, just out of reach.
Nope. It's a big place, you know. Have you seen every place there is to see in your world, human?
She ignored him and walked further into the grasslands. Strange-smelling winds whipped the long purple grass to and fro, the grass which rose to about stomach level for the woman. The sky above was a deep, dark blue now, filled with stars and untold celestial bodies. Except they weren't stars, Artemis saw now. What she had mistaken for far-distant gaseous balls of flame revealed themselves as some kind of insect, perhaps? They surely must have been alive, because they would dart around the dark sky, hover, and then disembark in some other direction. The lights would grow momentarily bigger or smaller, or leave her vision entirely, in a way that reminded her of insects. The spider bro saw her gaze over the tall grass and strange glowing lights.
Wisps. I wouldn't worry about them, as long as you stay on the path.
Artemis started to ask him what path exactly he was talking about, when her eyes focused a few yards beyond him and saw now for the first time an old cobbled path, cutting cleanly through the grass and towards the looming monoliths in the distance. She walked over to the mouth of the path and could now see that the fields before her rose and fell in shallow hills and dips, the path turning off nearly 100 feet away to the left, blocking a view of the deeper trail. The purple grass stood tall and looked brittle and sharp, with lighter creeper bunches hanging around the bottoms, bearing small black berries. There were no walls to the path, no fences or handrails or anything else holding back the grass, which seemed to grow obediently around the variously colored smooth stones used to cobble the way.
What do you think is over there?
She shot a look at him, and the spider bro crossed his arms, the legs on his head twitching slightly. His human-like mouth was uncomfortable to look at, and so Artemis returned her gaze out to the plains and floating, glowing orbs above.
Well, I guess it depends. No way to know until we check it out. And even then, we can't be sure it would take us back the way we came. Not that we'd want it to, so it sort of works out, if you think about it. Which I wouldn't advise. In fact, don't think at all. And definitely don't feel.
Artemis ignored him.
Everything you say is gibberish. Doesn't make any sense. Nothing here makes any sense.
The feeling of wrongness came upon her once more, and she concentrated hard.
Someone drugged me. It's the only logical explanation. I'm hallucinating. I'm dreaming. This isn't real. I was running. I was in a forest.
The spider bro raised one hand to his mouth leg, stroking it casually, as if in contemplation.
And?
Artemis concentrated as hard as she could, retracing the lines of her autobiographical memories, trying to untangle what she had so she could see properly the sequence of events as they had unfolded.
I was running in a forest, and I saw something, and then I woke up here.
And what did you see?
Artemis tried, but could not bring to mind exactly what she had witnessed, though in attempting this reminiscence, she was struck with a clear sense of having encountered beingness.
I don't know. I think I saw someone. They must have hit me or something.
When she said this, the air around her started to crackle, to twitch, like an old television with poor signal. But this aberration persisted only a moment, Artemis rubbed her eyes. She wasn't tired, but there was a strain on her, similar in feeling to the strain of physical labor on the muscles, except for that this strain was one in her head, in her mind, almost like a headache without any pain.
What were you doing running around in a forest anyway?
I was looking for something. No.
She paused.
Someone. I was looking for someone. Someone important. It was my job? It is my job. Holy shit.
Artemis pitched over, knees on the ground, hands holding herself up, as she began to vomit onto the cobblestones. What exploded from her throat felt dry and warm, but did not cause her pain, and from her mouth shot forth birds. Except they were not birds, but luminescent pairs of wings spiraled around one another and torpedoed out into the air, where they flew overhead like locusts, dozens of them, and more continued to pour forth from her innards. The spider bro reached up and caught one, sticking it front first into his mouth and closing his lips around his finger, swallowing the thing whole.
Sorry,
he said.
Couldn't resist.
The rest of the strange-looking not-birds flew out over the fields and into the forest, illuminating small areas of both with golden light, which faded as they went their way. The spider bro offered a hand and helped Artemis off the ground. She took her hand back and wiped her mouth with it, though there was no vomit or saliva or anything of the sort to clean from her face.
What the fuck did I just puke up? Ugh, were those...
She pointed up at the sky, filled as it was with those flying, glowing orbs that she had seen previously.
Nah, those up there are wisps. They're here to draw you off the path. What came out of you was... something else.
He trailed off awkwardly. Artemis noticed this and pressed the issue.
Something else? What's that supposed to mean?
The spider-headed man tilted his head back, avoiding her eyes.
Spirit food. You vomited up a whole bunch of spirit food. Gross, right?
Artemis shook her head.
I'm going to pretend you didn't say that, because it's not important right now. Why are you following me then, anyway?
She asked him.
I don't know. I guess I'm like your spirit animal or something. White people, am I right?
The forest behind them burst out in vocalizations, causing Artemis to jump. It sounded like canned laughter, exported direct from one of the old sitcoms her father used to tape and save and watch with her when she was younger. The laughter faded. Nobody materialized in the forest. So Artemis turned back to the spider bro.
First of all, I'm Greek. Secondly, are you fucking with me right now?
She asked him.
No. Maybe. But we could say I'm a tutelary spirit. I am here to teach you the mysteries of the worlds.
When he said this, he waved his arms out dramatically, gesturing around himself in a spin, pointing at everything to be seen.
We could say you're a freaky spider-headed dude in tidy whiteys, walking around planning God knows what.
She pointed out to him.
No offense.
The spider bro put his hands on his hips.
You couldn't offend me if you tried.
Artemis shrugged and sighed.
I was looking for someone important. I can't remember who, but I know that I have to find them. I know that I have to find them. I just don't know how.
The spider bro nodded.
You need to speak with an oracle,
he said matter-of-factly, and gestured to the monoliths lining the horizon, far past the tall, alien grasses.
Luckily, there is one right over there, on the other side of the grasslands. Or probably is, anyway. That's sort of how these things tend to go, isn't it?
Artemis did not respond.
Exactly. So we get through the grass and...
What do you mean, we?
She cut him off.
I don't know who you are or what you are. You literally just ate something I puked up. Just now. Right in front of me. You don't even have any clothes, for fuck's sake.
She waved a hand at his body.
Sort of making me uncomfortable, dude. Also, you won't even give me your name, which is super weird.
The spider-headed man raised a hand as if to deflect her words.
Okay, okay, okay. First of all, you don't just ask somebody their name. Not here. And don't give anyone your name either, if they ask. Though, most of you humans are so flippant with your names that they are known anyway. It never hurts to be careful. Names are secret and powerful. But if you must call me something, call me Kipling. It's not my true name, but it'll do.
He then stuck out his hand, which Artemis didn't know how to interpret for a moment until she realized he was trying to shake her hand. She thought for a moment, trying to invent a new moniker.
The Sheriff of Knoll. You can call me that.
They shook hands, and she was surprised at how human-like his hands felt, if a bit cold.
Anything you can do about the, you know, clothes thing?
Kipling snapped his fingers, and from behind him, cloth strips emerged like snakes, self-animated and wrapping around his limbs and torso, where they merged and shifted coloration and became a dark suit with white undershirt and black tie. He pulled a tiny top hat out from behind himself and placed it with a flourish onto the head of his head, is the only way Artemis could think of it.
Voila! Is it everything you ever hoped for?
But Artemis had turned to the trail and took a tentative step onto the stone path, and then another, and another. The grass swayed on fragrant winds. The orbs ducked and dived above her downward into the shelter of the purple blades as if a meteor shower. She turned to face the strange being that called itself Kipling and gave him a thumbs up.
Awesome. Can we go now?
Kipling hurried to follow her, and they both walked into the grasslands. This has been The Witch Doctor, Episode 17, Cobble, by Equanimous Rex. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for future episodes. Music attribution. The intro is Come Play With Me by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. The outro is Iron Horse, also by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Both of the songs are licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.